Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yet you're very welcome along to the show coming up over the next hour. I think I'll take my That was my most listened to song this year, according to Spotify Wrapped. Cullen Buig will join me to talk through his list and the genius marketing behind it all. Derek Riley will talk us through the new car sales stats for November and what they tell us about attitudes towards EVs in Ireland. And I'll have more small business shout-outs. As ever, if you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But let's start with this. In my little black dress and it's sitting. Just a heartbroken high heel, 6 inch in the back of the nightclub, sipping champagne. I don't trust any of these I'm with in the back of the taxis. On calls, drunk texts, drunk tears, drunk. So I was looking for a man who was on the same page. Lounge back to the intro, back to the bar, to the Bentley, to the hotel, to my own way. Yeah, so that is one of my most listened to songs of 2024. That is Escapism by Ray. And I know that it was one of my most listened to songs because Spotify told me the first Wednesday after Thanksgiving is always when they push out the information from Spotify Wrapped. Cullen Buig of Off The Ball is with me once again. Cullen, hi.
Hi, Jessica. It's been a minute.
You've been very, very excited for Spotify Wrapped since, I want to say, about August. You love this.
Yeah, I was wondering what it was going to be, you know. I think the last time we did this was last year. Last time we were on Tech Talk together, your show, was last year. On Spotify Wrapped themes. I believe it was the last time. And we played out with a song called Etsy. Or was it Darling by Etsy or something like that?
Esby, is it not?
Yeah. And it was played. We played it from my phone. I think it was played naturally. Yes. And lo and behold, like 12 months on, like nowhere to be seen that song.
Because
a life-changing circumstance changed my playlist.
Baby Buick.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'll give you an immediate highlight when I was looking at my Spotify rap this past week.
Go for it.
Was that I listened to Spotify for 776 minutes on one day.
It's 11 hours.
Which is precisely 12.9 hours. Yeah. And the day was the 23rd of April. And I thought to myself, geez, like, was the traffic mad? What was going on that day? And it was when my wife was in labor with our first child. And so we had two playlists. We had Labor Relaxed and Labor Upbeat.
Okay.
So we were playing songs back and forth between the playlists.
Mm-hmm.
And the labor was very long.
Mm-hmm.
To be precise, I said 776 minutes equated to 12.9 hours, and the labor was 29 and a half hours. So the only reason that there's not more minutes added to that is because we ran out of time and it went into midnight on the 24th. So it actually continued into the next morning, but not enough to beat that record. So that's how long it was playing for. And we were only debating this week. It was like, what song was played or playing at 9:27 a.m. on Wednesday the 24th of April? And we're still debating it.
You told me.
What, do you know which one it was?
You told me it was a Talking Head song.
Yeah, it was. So that was the one we were debating. And it's the Talking Head song. I have it for you here now. I want to get this right. It's in the movie Wall Street, for all you Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen fans out there.
Uh-huh.
And there's plenty of those. This was by Talking Heads. And the song is called This Must Be The Place.
Which is one of my favourite songs of all time.
Is it? Yeah. You love Talking Heads, I know that. But that song specifically is a massive tune.
Yeah.
Massive. And we think that was the song that occurred. And then to give you a follow-up statistic was, I was in the top 0.001% of global listeners to the song Unfinished Sympathy by Massive Attack. And again, I was wondering why... was that the case? So I streamed it 90 odd times, 70 odd specifically in May. And I was thinking, oh yeah, that was the only song that the little baby would fall asleep to in May. So I had to play that repeatedly to her. That's and she would fall asleep to it.
Because I remember when Baby Boog was born, on the first few days, you'd send little videos of her asleep and you'd always be playing some weird, like, umphy, dancey track that mm-hmm. she seemed to just very much enjoy.
Yeah, it was, the very start was gangster rap. So I would take her into the spare room the early hours of the morning and she would sleep on my chest to the dulcet tones of Dr. Dre and Snoop.
So relaxing.
In the 90s,
yeah,
when there was a bit of an edge to them. Mm-hmm. They didn't have the money yet. So she loved that. And then it transferred into trip-hop, I think, is the genre of Unfinished Sympathy, to be specific.
Okay.
But it's really interesting. It was because, like, I suppose we'll get onto this about how detailed the rap is this year. It's mm-hmm. crazy. But in February, my favorite genre was jazz. I was, why was that? And it was the artist Chet Baker. I was like, oh yeah, Chet Baker features prominently in the last series of Ted Lasso in an episode called Amsterdam.
Which I didn't love that episode.
I loved it though. And two of the characters talk about the story of how this guy, Chet Baker, this legendary jazz musician, ended his life. But the song of his that they play soundtracks like the happiest moments of that episode, which is a very happy episode.
Mm.
And it turns out I play that song repeatedly, which then what Spotify will do is play like-minded songs. Now, the issue I have to get more objective and cold about the whole situation about Spotify is they're lazy.
Go on.
If you play a song,
yeah,
the next half a dozen songs are just ones that you're already familiar with. In my experience, they don't introduce new music to you.
Well, this is a big controversy in the world of Spotify. They've mm-hmm. started to do this thing. If you listen to... So I have a starred playlist. Every song that I like is onto my starred playlist thing. That's my master playlist I listen to all the time. And if you put that on shuffle, they've now introduced this AI shuffle. So every three songs, they will introduce a song that is befitting of your playlist.
Mm.
Some people don't like it. And if you want to turn it off, here's a top little tip for you. If you press the shuffle button three times, it'll get rid of the AI suggestions, because I'd be waddling along and then all of a sudden some random song that I don't know would come on and I didn't like it at all. But if you're someone like you who's a bit more adventurous and wants to expand your musical knowledge, then maybe the AI inserts is for you.
Okay, I didn't know that. I was just getting frustrated by it, because I do a playlist every year.
Yes.
With the name of the year.
Mm.
And what's my guarantee in this playlist? There's a song for everyone.
Okay.
My guarantee. And there's a story behind why each song has been added.
Okay.
So my 2024 playlist is every genre under the sun. And I'll regularly play the 2024 playlist while I'm commuting, and I'll just press the shuffle button. And there's about 100 odd songs in that playlist, which is some going for this year. Because I think last year we had this conversation, it was about 70 odd. 100 odd songs. I'm telling you, I'm convinced the shuffle plays the same 10 songs every time.
Really?
Because when I manually go through the list, I haven't heard that song in ages. Yeah, I'm telling you, like, Spotify are lazy.
That's not ideal.
No. No. The rap is, I would imagine, tedious.
It's all automated, though.
Well, but to get it set up in the first place, the hard work is done and now they're doing it further.
Yeah.
But this year has been the introduction of this AI rap of your rap.
The podcast, the AI podcast.
Crazy.
So did you listen to yours?
Yeah, so this male and female
AI voices
are going back and forth. In like a casual manner, conversation.
It's kind of like what's happening right now, except, you know, I can confirm that I'm not AI and I don't think you're AI.
There is no proof of that though.
There's no proof. Nobody can prove it.
This could be AI. And that's how convincing the Spotify podcast.
No, their voices are even more annoying than my voice.
And they talk about like they know you.
Mm.
And it was freaky level of detail.
But, so let's just take your 2024.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had the beautiful little bebe come in April. That was a huge moment. And music was obviously a big part of that.
Yeah.
And so your listening habits changed as a result of that. And it can be very, like, emotional and revealing when you see the insights that you have. So we moved into our house in August. Mm. And there's, like, two or three albums that we had on repeat when we were moving in. And that's now pretty high up on my Spotify Wrapped. And it's a really nice way to look back on your year, because it's different to what I would have had on my Spotify 2023. So I think it is, as much as it is a bit freaky deaky that they can see how many minutes of a song you listen to and so on.
Mm.
I actually think it's a lovely way to look back on your year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be a fan of it. I mean, people I noticed this year still shared the findings on their Instagram stories. I thought it had become passé, but people are still legitimately doing it.
I didn't. The only thing that I did share, and I don't know if you saw these on yours, but when I clicked through the like Instagram story version of the Spotify Wrapped, there was two things that actually made me lol. So the first one was, May was your indie sleaze shred modern rock season. Don't know what that means. And then February was my McBling strut pop phase. Again, no clue what either of those two things mean. But I think it just identifies the different genres that you listen to.
And you appreciated the language that they used.
I did,
the wordies.
The wordies, yeah.
In June, I was back on Britpop, they told me.
Oh, was that when Oasis was announced, though?
It might have been. I don't know. That felt like later. I can't remember that now. But I suppose because the weather improved, and automatically when that happens, I go back to Oasis. But it was actually mostly Pulp.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. The song called Do You Remember the First Time? And a song called Babies.
Cute.
So people say that their music tastes change when having a baby. And we had the renowned chef Mark Moriarty on Off the Ball Breakfast this past week, doing his You Had to Be There. And they had a baby only 7 weeks ago. And he said his most played song on Spotify now is White Noise. That's not the name of a cool song. That is literally White Noise. I remember doing that at the very, very start, before the gangster rap phase. That was the very first thing we used to do, was the White Noise.
Was she into it?
It did help. Yeah, it was very effective, but it was dull for the adults.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, this is dull. I'm not getting much sleep, so I might as well have some fun. So then I started playing songs that I like. And then they seemed to not bother her. So I kept going with it. And then the peak was Unfinished Sympathy, when she actively seemed to enjoy that song.
Yeah. I can't wait for when we're doing this next year and you're like the Bluey soundtrack and Peppa Pig and Baby Shark.
It'll become adorable, because this year it's the same as every year, by the way. Number one is the Moneyball soundtrack. Michael Banner.
Oh, you're so predictable.
I'm like the top point something 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 percent of his listeners worldwide. So I said this last year. I said to anyone who listen, if you're busy in work or studying or whatever you're up to and you have a lot of work to do, throw on the Moneyball soundtrack. You'll find it easily if you have Spotify. And it's the most amazing music in which to focus. Focuses the mind. Instrumental. So that's always my number one. And then I had this, like, can I use language in this show, Jess? But I had an adjective jazz group. Do you know what I mean when I was about to say adjective jazz? It was like, say, self-indulgent.
Fain Trulu is the Irish word, yeah.
Berlioz, Berlioz, for anyone listening there, they might be familiar with it. They have songs such as Deep In It and NYC in 1940, and they're very cool tunes, very cool. So I've sent it, them and those songs, to the most hipster of buddies of mine, and none of them have come back to me saying that they're familiar with them.
Yeah.
And they are my number two most listened to artist this year. And then the rest is Britpop. How about you?
Well, so the top of mine was Taylor Swift.
Now, I've heard this from lots of people. And some embarrassed genres of people saying it too.
I wasn't happy about it. My defense, and there's nothing wrong with Taylor Swift, but it's just I'm actually not a Taylor Swift fan. But I took my niece Ellie to see Tay Tay this year.
You did?
And I felt like I needed to know the music to be able to appreciate it. And then also she was listening to it as well. So essentially, she's hijacked my Spotify. So it's no longer reflecting my taste.
So you actually personally weren't listening?
I listened to a bit of it for sure. But
your niece was the most active person when it came to listening to Taylor Swift on your device.
On my device.
So you feel cheated.
I do.
So your second most listened to artist is actually your true answer.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Which is Talking Heads again.
So you listen to Talking Heads every day?
Most days, yeah.
Okay, and you're 3 to 5?
I can't remember what 3 was. Number 4 was the Beatles.
Yeah, I had Beatles as number 5.
Did you? I didn't think you were a Beatles person.
I was mad into them much younger.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I had heard everything. And then...
Did you watch the new Beatles documentary on
Is that the one,
Disney?
Is that the one where you see them creating songs themselves?
No, that was the one from last year. This one is very much focused on their first trip to America when they went on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of behind the scenes footage of them in the hotel. And you just see how young and, I suppose, naive and happy they were. It's quite sweet. And it's against the backdrop of JFK being shot and what was going on in America at the time. That fangirl culture that was so heavily there. Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating. I very much enjoyed
it. Why did they make it so big in America and other British bands fail to replicate their success?
Well, this is something that comes up all the time. It's just the time and place of it all.
There was no one like them beforehand.
Yeah.
Nobody.
No. And they were different to, like, because we watched the Elvis.
Elvis is big before them.
Yeah, so yeah. We watched the Elvis thing that you told me to watch the other day.
Oh, you watched Think of It, the one, the 68 comeback special.
Yeah. And it was quite interesting. So if you look at Elvis and then if you look at the Beatles were kind of a bit more clean cut than Elvis, particularly towards the latter part of Elvis's career. So there was that thing of something new, something different, something very polished, the matching haircuts, the little head wobbles when they sing She Loves You, all that kind of stuff. But in the wake of Liam Payne's death from One Direction, there was a talk of how One Direction had elements of that in modern life. But you don't see it as frequently as you would have back in the day.
No, I mean, I think this is probably a whole different conversation, but the idea of a band is quickly dissipating from music.
I disagree.
Name me bands.
There's loads of bands.
See, the fact that you went to the politician answer of just loads while you buy yourself time to think of
no,
any
but like
modern bands, rock bands.
The Killers.
20 odd years ago they came out.
Yeah, they're still around.
Okay, but so are you too. I mean, I'm talking about like new rock bands.
I don't know.
See, it's done, like duets are in.
Mm.
Samples.
Mm.
Gone are the rock bands.
No, sure, I'm going to see Fontaine's DC tonight in the Three Arena. Good Irish band.
Okay, yeah.
Going to see them tonight. Okay. Very excited.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go back to the conversation about Spotify because I'm losing this argument. So overall, like one of the things that strikes me, and I was on with Kieran Cudahy on Wednesday and I made this point, the Spotify Wrapped is the ultimate marketing genius.
I think you presented this in a presentation before.
I did present this in a presentation before.
So let the outside world in on your idea.
Well, I just think, because you and I have had conversations before about tracking technology and, you know, wearables on your wrist and all that sort of stuff. We don't like the idea of big tech tracking us and knowing stuff about our lives. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Spotify, because it makes you seem cool or quirky or like you have a great music taste, everybody is happy to show the level of tracking that Spotify has, down to how many minutes you were listening to Spotify the day your child was born. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's very, very intimate knowledge.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have it pre-packaged with the Spotify branding means if you were on Spotify on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, all you'd have seen was Spotify everywhere. To the point where now Netflix is trying to catch up with Netflix Wrapped and stuff like that, but it doesn't have the same oomph and impact.
So they had the introduction of the AI podcast this year.
Yeah.
To summarize your Spotify in the year that was. And do you envision this going somewhere again further next year and the years beyond to the point where it becomes troubling for people?
I think people will end up losing the rag with it for sure.
I wonder what would that scenario be where people are no longer comfortable with it. It probably would be the detail of what kind of mood you were in when listening to it.
But that's pretty much it though. Like, you can already see that, like, if you scan through your playlist, and depending on the kind of music listener you are and all the rest, but you could kind of figure out, like, it told me that February I was what, like pop swagger or something like that. What if it said that you were emo, sad songs, breakup albums or whatever? Would you want that put in a nice Spotify presentation?
Well, no, I mean, it's fair game now because that's just the genre of music that you were listening to, but then you would personalize it because you'd remember what happened at that time. But Spotify isn't saying that you're going through a tough time. That's what I'm envisioning happening, is that they will actually be able to say, remember when you listened to Blink 182 because you remember you broke up? Remember they broke up with you? Do you remember that?
Do you remember you were devastated?
And that would be the word they'd use. It wouldn't be so cute. Remember when he broke your heart? Do you remember that? Do you remember how that made you feel? Anyway, you were listening to that.
Yeah, it's a bit Black Mirror, I guess, when you delve into it to that extent.
You see, I think we had this discussion last year, which is I've long made peace with the fact of accepting cookies and whatnot.
Yeah.
And understanding that there is a give and take relationship when it comes to humans and technology, in that the take is information at your fingertips and anything you ever want to know in seconds.
Mm.
And the give is that, okay, but we're going to find out pretty much everything about your likes and dislikes.
But you see, I'm okay, and this like, I'll say this with a caveat, but to a certain extent, I'm okay with the company taking my data when I understand and accept why they're taking it and how they're going to use it. What I don't like is when it's packaged in a really cute way for me to share on social so that everyone and their mother can see it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's up to you to share that. You don't have
to
do it.
Yeah, people get caught up in the wave. I was sick of looking at Instagram on Wednesday evening when everyone was posting the little snapshots. It's like, okay, cool. Like, well done. You're like a band that nobody cares about.
The reason, like you say, it's such a brilliant marketing move is that you're generally looking at the stories and people, and we're talking about Instagram particularly here, of people that you, at the very least, are interested in. You might not even like them, but you're intrigued, but there's something about them is the reason why you're seeing their story in the first place, because obviously they'll be the prominent people in your story. They're furthest left. So that's who you're seeing first.
Yeah.
I'm guessing is how Instagram works in the algorithm, is people you engage with most.
Yeah.
Because if you keep going on your stories, you'll end up in like publications that you follow way down the line. So you kind of want to know, I'm friendly enough with Jess Kelly. I wonder why. I never knew she liked talking heads. And then for whatever reason, and this is just human nature, anyone listening to this right now can think of someone that applies to for them. It's like, oh, I never knew that they'd like that. I thought they'd like something else. And I think that's the key ingredient to its success and why people share it.
Yeah.
And also people, and on the other side of it, people want to illustrate their tastes. But funnily enough, you'll see people who would typically share everything about their lives who haven't shared their Wrapped this week because they're embarrassed or ashamed by what they've listened to most.
What a sad reflection of society. My final question is, are you going to get Baby Buick her own Spotify account so you can keep your Notions one with Moneyball at the top? Or are you going to sacrifice it to Bluey or Peppa Pig or Baby Shark next year?
I mean, I'd like to tell you that I'll do the first, but you know me, I'm just going to do the second part where, yeah, she can listen to whatever on mine. And but I'll be able to separate the truth. You know, I'll be shouting back at Wrapped at the end of 24. That's not true. That's not, I wasn't listening to that. That was her.
Right. We are going to play out with one of your top songs. What song would you like to hear?
I think we should go, if you don't mind, being the top 0.001% global listener of Unfinished Sympathy by Massive Attack. I would greatly appreciate it.
Here you go.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Now, regular listeners to the show will know that we have, at least once a month, our good friend Derek Riley of Nevo.ie on the programme to bring us the latest news and reviews from the world of EVs. But rather than starting with news and reviews from the world of EVs, we have to have a bit of a catch-up, because the last time we spoke to Derek was just before their Notion show took place in the RDS, and I'm delighted to say that I followed it all online and it looked incredible. Derek, welcome back and tell us all about it.
Yeah, good day out for everybody. We had nearly 20,000 people at the show, which was phenomenal. A lot of interest in it. And we thought it might be the same people that were back from the February show, but we obviously could see the data from people registering, and it was 80% new people coming through the doors. So a lot of interest in electric vehicles. We did surveys, and that'll be coming out soon for people that were at the show. But we had over 14 new car launches, lots of affordable stuff coming to the market. And we had two stages with lots of education as well. So we're hearing positive feedback from people who attended and those who exhibited. And if they're happy, we're happy.
Yeah, it looked incredible. As I said, I was watching it online, and the level of wow factor that people, like some of my own colleagues, were there, and they were showcasing different bits and pieces, and they were surprised by the look of some of the EVs. I don't know if this is another myth that we need to bust. Some people seem to have this notion that EVs are ugly, clunky, ridiculous looking cars. That's not the case at all.
No, there's definitely, people can go at a different form factor, the manufacturers, and some of them do take that to extreme, but there are some beautiful cars out there. And beauty is in the eye of the beholder. We've got the whole Jaguar controversy at the moment where they've rebranded and they've launched their Type 00 during the week. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Jess, if you want to Google it there as I'm chatting away, but it is a very long and large and Cybertruck-y looking pink.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
What's I don't happening? Like it. Is it the color, Jess? Is it the 25-inch wheels? Is it? But listen, Is it all PR? Is good PR if they're talking about you? But back to your point, yeah, there was lots of beautiful I think they're all beautiful, just like my little children, all the EVs. But there was some gorgeous stuff at the show in November, and lots of stuff coming in the pipeline for 2025 and beyond. It's definitely not a quiet space to be in, and there's so much happening. It's phenomenal.
This Jaguar, sorry, I am listening to you, but this Jaguar, it looks like a hearse that's been squished.
Some people say it looks like Thunderbirds, what Lady Penelope used to drive around in. Listen, they said, not a lot of people buy our cars, so we need to make them stand out. And they have made, now this concept, don't get me wrong, but the official version of the vehicle is actually in testing at the moment. So there are some camouflage shots of it out there. It is not as monolithic as that one, but yeah, do you know what, there's so much talk about it online, and your listeners that are into cars, not just electric vehicles, this will be fully electric obviously why we're talking about it, but it is a statement piece for sure.
Take a look at it there. Google Jaguar 00 and email me techtalk@newstalk.com. Just have geek or nice in the subject bar. I just want to do a little bit of a poll. I'm firmly in the geek camp. But briefly, back to the Nevo show for a second. I'm always interested, and I asked you about this the last few times as well. What were the kind of questions? Because I know that you had an awful lot of people at stands from different brands. I know that your team was there. What were the kind of questions being asked? Like, how far along the EV education piece are we?
70% of people who attended on the day were already EV drivers looking for their next EV. But 30% of people that showed up on the day were brand new buyers currently in a combustion engine vehicle and wanted to come along to one place to see all the different types and sizes and shapes of electric vehicles to make up their decision. And we had people going, yeah, we'd like that vehicle. And we didn't realize there was a nice, small, affordable one there as well. We might have that as our second car as well. So, and it was all the same questions about range, about battery, about used values, about degradation, everything. So it's a first day for a lot of people out there still, and will be for a number of years. It's only market share, and we'll talk about that later on. You know, I mean, we're nowhere near market penetration. So same as the February show, a lot of people just dipping their toe in the water, wanted to see, and were just blown away by the amount of vehicles that were on show and the amount of different offerings that were there, small to large, affordable to a bit more luxury. There was a great across the whole marketplace.
I also know that you did a panel early in the morning about the commercial EV side of things. How did that go, and what sort of reception, and were there many questions in relation to that?
Yeah, lots of positivity. A lot of people there thinking about transitioning their fleet to electric, and so much so we've got the dates for next year already locked in, and we're doing 2 days, and we're going to focus on business on the first day, on the Friday, the 7th of November. And so it'll be a bit more, we'll have a lot more electric vans there on the day. We'll have more experts and talks about it, whereas we mix the both in subject matters into this show. In the morning was more business focused. The afternoon was more consumer focused. But yeah, great turnout and people understanding, okay, what do I need to do to go electric in my vans? What do I need to do about charging? What do I need to do about educating our drivers? What do I need to do about maybe vehicle to grid, utilizing those fleet of vans and selling that back to the grid is something that's happening in other markets. So yes, you know, you're charging it overnight, or you might be charging it on solar during the day. But then when the grid needs it, these large fleets of electric vehicles are able to export it back out and get a nicer price for it. So yeah, there's lots of interesting things that may not be as consumer focused that businesses would be a lot more focused on.
Yeah, I was at an event, I want to say 2 weeks ago, with ESB, and I was listening to some really interesting panels about the facilitation of electricity across the country. So whether that's for your shower or for your car, or for your business, whatever it is, and the amount of innovation that's going in on this space. And if you're someone like me who's interested in this from the engineering point of view, it's fascinating to look at the demand, the change in demand, and why we need to be future and forward looking when it comes to this, and understanding, you know, what impact solar panels on your house have, solar chargers for a whole host of different things. Like, there's a lot of things going on in the green electricity space beyond just the EVs as well.
Yeah, microgeneration, self-generation, the ability for the grid to be able to take and provide energy. So large Factories might have a lot of solar on the roof and being able to export that back into the grid. Those boffins at ESB Networks are really trying to make sure that we're strengthening the grid and Airgrid as well. They're strengthening the grid because it is that way. You know, we are going to electrify a lot more things, be that transport, be that heating, be that whatever it may be. We are working our way away from fossil fuels. And so that backbone, that grid really needs to be up to scratch. And as you say, up to scratch for 2024, 2025, it needs to be there for 2030, 35. And so when you're putting in large infrastructure projects, be that buildings themselves, data centers, or the grid to connect to hospitals or schools or whatever it may be, new housing developments, they're all going to have a higher requirement on energy. But what's interesting, and it probably was come out at the show, Jess, is because we're becoming more energy efficient, the actual demand on the grid with LED lighting, so people have changed all their potential light bulbs to LED, things are getting more efficient with regards to heating, etc. And so it's not like because we're electrifying more, the grid is under more pressure. We've actually also become more efficient with that energy utilization. Mm. And so the grid is holding its own. It's great to hear that we're not looking at brownouts and blackouts, et cetera, around the place. But it is it's a very interesting topic and very much connected with the electric vehicle space that I'm involved in.
Yeah, it's something that I want to look at a little bit more next year across the board. So again, obviously, we do the EV side of things, but I want to delve a little bit deeper into the generation side of things and the possibility and capability of selling back to the grid and what happens. And I don't know, I genuinely had a bit of an eye-opening experience at that event. But anyway, let's stick with EVs for now. You have a list of some of the more affordable EVs. And again, this is another myth that we have busted time and again, which is you have to spend, you know, 80 to 100 grand to get a good EV. That's just not the case anymore.
Yeah, we've got a lot, and we had a lot of launches at the show, and we've got a lot more affordable electric vehicles coming in at the other end of the market now. So the cheapest electric car on the market at the moment is the Dacia Spring, coming in at just under 17,000 euros, 16,990, and they're offering 0% finance, zero deposit at 199 a month for 36 months. And so, like, a four-seater with decent range, to over 200-kilometer range, it's very hard. You're not going to get a petrol or a diesel car for that, never mind an electric car. And so that's the cheapest electric car. Now, there is a caveat there. There is a cheaper electric vehicle out there, which is the Citroen Ami, the little two-seater quadricycle, and that's coming in at under 10,000 euros. Now, that is a much smaller range of just over 45 kilometers with a limited top speed as well. But for an actual car with four windows, four doors, four seats, four seatbelts, and a boot for under 17,000 euros or 200 euros a month, it's very hard to argue with the likes of that.
Okay. Actually, do you know, you would have been so proud of me. I went and reviewed an EV a while ago.
I'm always proud of you, Jess, number one. Number two, yes, MG Cyberster.
Yeah.
I got the notification. They asked me, is it okay if Jess goes and has a look at this? And I said, absolutely. She's well educated now. Beautiful car.
It was a gorgeous car. I was like a 4 foot shorter version of you doing it. Myself and Kieran went for a drive. And this is one of the ones I knew what to look for based on your education. And I knew to appreciate things like the fact that it is a sports car. It's essentially, it's a sports car EV hybrid yoke, right? In that it's fully electric, but it has the shape and the form of a sports car. But because of the battery placement, you don't feel like you're down very low in a sports car, if you know what I mean. I've sat in sports cars before and you're squished down to the bottom of the ground. But this was such a comfortable car. The only thing that I noted, and again, this is based on your education, was the boot space. So the boot space was pretty impressive. But at the front of the car, that's all used for, you know, your liquids and your bits and pieces. So there wasn't the front storage. But I have to say, I was very impressed by it.
Yeah, gorgeous door openings on it as well with the butterfly doors. And it is a real eye turner. It's the first electric car that I've driven in 5 years, and a bus stopped. And he opened the window and he put his thumb out and he goes, that's gorgeous. And I drive a lot of cars, Jess, but this thing is a real eye catcher on the road. I think you were driving the red one. There's a gorgeous yellow and a white one as well. Yeah, so that really is something totally different. And again, that form factor and the first point on the show today was, are EVs just all ugly and, you know, not very attractive? You can't say that about the MG Cyberster.
No, you can't. So that was my EV review. But what else do we have on the more affordable end of the spectrum?
Hyundai, Inster, for just under 19,000 euros starting off. An interesting one with this. This is the first time Hyundai Ireland have set allowed people to reserve online. And so we talk about that model of everything going online. We have some other brands that do that regularly, but this is the first time Hyundai have done this with the Inster, another four-seater. This is a much bigger battery than the Dacia Spring, and it's much taller as well. And so a lot more, if you're a taller person, you'd sit in the front, sit in the back, has a decent boot. But it's doing a road show at the moment around the country. It's going to be landing in January. But there's a lot of buzz, pardon the pun, in the EV community about this, and people going in, purchasing this for a second vehicle, if they're based in the city, purchasing it for their normal vehicle. This is over 370 kilometer range. So a potential coast-to-coast car there for under 19,000 euros.
God, that's very good, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And it gets better. We've got the likes of the Citroen EC3 for coming in just over 23,000 euros. And they all have their own individual specs and sizes and offers, etc. So for that one example, you're getting a free home charger, 8-year battery warranty, etc. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of really small, affordable electric vehicles coming in. And then we had a large activation at the show where the Renault 5 had its Irish launch. Gorgeous, gorgeous, real retro inspired, but modern in one sense. And that's coming in at just under 26,000 euros. And so a lot of these cars, we're going to see a lot of interesting sales figures coming in 2025, where you would have had that middle to high end car buyer going electric up till now, but all of these more affordable electric vehicles are hitting the market, and the market is really liking it.
Yeah, I have to say, I really like the look of that Renault 5. I had a look at it online earlier on, and it is that retro looking car. Like, it's something that my brother would have played with, you know, that kind of form factor of a little toy car. But again, from the insides, from what I've seen, it looks really spacious. It looks like it's got a good dashboard. It has all the bits and pieces that you'd want. And again, for a more affordable price tag.
And very French, would you believe? Made in France. Batteries are going to be manufactured in France very soon as well. And you can option a baguette holder, Jess.
Not very notions.
This is not helping my case that EVs have notions. But yeah, you can, a beautiful handmade basket weaved baguette holder. When I get it in Ireland for a spin, I'll call around and pick you up.
Oh, maybe it's time I learned how to drive just for that alone.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, there we are. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about is something that you posted about on Instagram. And I found it really, really interesting, because the narrative around EVs has frustrated me immensely. And I think if I didn't have you on this show every week or every month talking to me, I probably would believe some of the media narrative that's out there. But tell me a little stat that's based on fact.
Yeah, it's all about the facts and, you know, the numbers of people that come to our shows, the people that are interested in buying electric vehicles. And November just passed is the second month that electric vehicles are the top selling combustion engine, or sorry, form factor electric powertrain is what I'm trying to say, over petrol, diesel, hybrids, etc. So 46% of all cars sold in November were electric. Now, yes, small numbers, but do you know what? Every victory is a victory. And October, we were the same. It was at 22%, whereas petrol, diesels, hybrids were all around the 21%. So it's the second month that EVs are on the way up. Overall, the number so far this year, November versus November of last year, it's up 59%. Yes, year to date, we're slightly down about 23, 24%. But that 23 number, we've talked about it before, was inflated because people couldn't get the cars they wanted in 22. It's going to be really interesting with what we've talked about already with regards to the amount of interest that's in the marketplace, but all the more affordable electric vehicle coming in, that 2025 is going to be a real, in my opinion, I don't say it lightly, Jess, a game changer for electric vehicle sales here in Ireland. We're seeing it in other markets around the world. And we can see by the level of interest that you have me on every month, we've been chatting for years about it, there are going to be a lot more electric vehicles on the road. And so far this year, we're at nearly 17,000 brand new electric vehicles and on EV drivers, on top of the tens of thousands that are already there. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about 2025.
Yeah, the change is definitely happening. And I think it does come down to, we say it all the time, but it comes down to education, asking the questions. As you always say to me, there's no such thing as a stupid question. Like, ask the question. There are so many, like the cars that you just listed there in terms of affordable EVs means the barrier to entries are diminishing now. And also the infrastructure is getting better. And the knowledge that if you just plan your journey, there's no reason why you couldn't go from coast to coast or tip to top of the country once you know how to drive it and do that little bit of planning beforehand, right?
I think even with the planning thing, Jess, we're getting to the stage where there's so many hubs in planning process at the moment. There's over 40 across Ireland and they're massive hubs. They're not just ones and twos. There's a brand new one after opening up there in Charlestown out beside in Finglas. And that has, I think it's 12 super fast charging stations just after opening up last week. And so it's nearly getting to the stage where, don't hold me now to this, that you potentially wouldn't have to plan, where you'd actually just be able to go off and you'll know that there'll be enough chargers around the place that you can just pull in and get a charge. We're not there yet. We're definitely on that journey. But the amount of planning applications that I can see going into the network and chatting to those charge point operators, it's becoming the price point we talked about, the price parity. If you want a Peugeot E3008, you can get a electric or you can get a hybrid, same price. And so when they're the same price, we've got the charging network, we've got the education, they drive nicer and smoother. I hope, Jess, that you're going to have me on for a number of more shows, but it may get to the stage where they just become the norm.
Oh, what a thrill. Let's just wait for that day to happen and then we'll assess whether you stay on the show or not. At the moment, you're just a novelty, right? That's it. Derek Riley of Nevo.ie, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jess.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
The Great Gadget Gift Guide was on the Pat Kelly Show on Friday, November 29th. If you missed it or if you want to watch it back, you can find it on YouTube. Just search for News Talk and hit live. Within that guide, I had three phones from HMD. We had the Skyline, which is a stunning smartphone with an amazing camera. The HMD Barbie, which is a retro flip phone and an ideal first phone if you have someone who loves Barbie, as well as the Nokia 3210, which is a modern take on a legend. If you want to win all three, and I'm giving them all away to one person, all you need to do is head to idonate.ie/JessKellyNT and donate €5. All of the money goes to Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, which does incredible work. I'm going to pick a winner at 5 p.m. on Monday, December 9th, and one person will get all three phones. You can head over to my Instagram at JessKellyNT for more information. Right, let's have a look at some of the small business shout-outs. First up, we have one from CompuCard. So it says here, we are an Irish-owned business created by two students studying at DCU. The site uses AI to create custom Christmas cards with anything you can imagine on the front. I've added some examples below and they are cute. There's one of me and it looks adorable. The mission is to make Christmas cards meaningful and personal again. You can make a card that is unique to a specific person in seconds and ship it directly to them with zero hassle. So that website is CompuCard.com. .ie and they are absolutely gorgeous and I would highly recommend it. Next up, we have The Book Resort. This came in from Ashling, who says, my name is Ashling. I run The Book Resort with my two sons in Waterford. The Book Resort is a book subscription and gifting company and we ship gorgeous boxes with brilliant books, delicious chocolate and lovely Irish artisan products to homes worldwide daily. You saw on the Instagram that we're doing the shout outs. So the website is thebookresort.ie. And that sounds like a great idea, particularly if you're like me and you've got relatives living abroad. I absolutely love that idea, so fair play. Next, we have something that I'm intrigued by. It's called Teetotal. So the email says, here's a bit of background on our small fledgling business. Teetotal is a premium loose tea family-owned startup business based in Fox Rock, South County Dublin. Our mission is to rejuvenate the charm of loose leaf tea and redefine its role in today's world. We're passionate about restoring the relevance of loose leaf tea and delighted to intrigue your senses with our exceptional blends. This sounds like a bit of me now, to be honest. I never really know how to interact or engage or indeed drink loose leaf tea, but I you're not based that far away from me, so maybe I'll pop in. And it says here in the email, for any listener who registers and enters Tech Talk, all one word, into the How Did You Hear About Us field, will be emailed with a 10% discount on their first order next week. So if you want 10% off, just use Tech Talk, all one word. They also say they'll be in Blackrock Market for the next 3 weekends. So it would be great to meet some people in person. So the website is T, as in T, TEA-total.com. So TEA-total.com. A lovely idea. The last business for this week is a shop that I have bought Christmas presents from, I would say, at least the last 4 years. And it is Cogs Toys and Games. I heard that they were on with Kieran during the week with some board games. I was incredibly jealous to miss them. But they got in touch to say, we are a guaranteed Irish business and recently won Small Irish Retailer of the Year. Congratulations. We are a family-run business based in Stephen's Green Shopping Centre and selling online at cogstoysandgames.ie with next-day delivery throughout Ireland and same-day delivery in Dublin. They also have a list of some of the top steps. So science, technology, engineering and maths toys for Christmas 24. They are, like, I guarantee you, if you walk into the shop or if you go onto the website, you will see so many things that you as an adult will want. But there are brilliant toys and games that are educational. They're a bit of crack. They look beautiful. They're really good quality. As I said, I've bought from them for my nieces and nephews numerous times over the years. And I will be doing so again this Christmas. So it's cogstoysandgames.ie. If you are a small business and you want to shout out, please do drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com. And I'm going to do as many as I can between now and Christmas. Turns out it's not that far away. I kept on thinking Christmas is ages away. The election has completely messed me up. But there you go. Right, let's have a look at some of the tech questions that have come in. The first one is from Tony Hayes, who says, hi Jess, just wondering what was the name of the slim power bank you mentioned last week? That was a power bank by Mophie. So M-O-P-H-I-E. They have a whole host of products. The ones that we mentioned last week in particular was the 5000 milliamp one. It is incredibly portable. It'll fit very nicely into a pocket or into a little bag. And it's also quite affordable too. So it's Mophie, M-O-P-H-I-E. Next up is an email here from Breda. Apologies, Breda. And she says, hi, Jess. We bought a Surface Pro for music recording. However, the screen is very small. Is it possible to use an external larger monitor? If so, what would you recommend? And is it complicated? It's not complicated. It is very, very straightforward. And I would highly recommend, based on my own external monitor, the HP Series 7 Pro, which I think we have the 27-inch version. And the screen is gorgeous. There's a lovely finish on the screen. It's very easy to plug in. You simply just connect the display cable from the back of the monitor into your Surface and it'll absolutely do the job. I would recommend a 27-inch screen, particularly if you are editing. I'd obviously spend a lot of time editing audio and I find the bigger the screen, the better. So there you go. It is the HP. Next up, we have an email here from Sean and Margaret. So the email is Sean and Margaret, but this is from Margaret. So it says here, I hope you don't mind me emailing, but I'm trying to decide what phone to get. I have an iPhone 11 Pro, but I'm thinking of getting the iPhone 16, not the Pro this time, as I don't do gaming or use the camera to its full capacity on the Pro. Is the 16 a good phone and is it worth getting? Also, what cover would you recommend? So Margaret, thank you so much for your email. I absolutely don't mind you emailing. I love when people email, so please always feel free to email. In terms of the 16, yes, absolutely, it is a very good phone. What I would say is that it probably will do more than you need it to. So if you wanted to save a few quid, perhaps you should look at getting the iPhone 15, because there's not a massive difference between the 15 and the 16 in terms of spec. It'll be a little bit cheaper and it's still an excellent phone. So that's what I would recommend. But if you want to get the latest one, the 16 is definitely worth going for. In terms of the covers, I love Zag as a brand and I also love Otterbox. They are the two brands that I would always go for when buying a device. Also, the official Apple covers are quite good, but don't get the leather one. The leather one I found kind of molted a little bit, but the silicone ones from Apple are excellent. I hope that helps. I think that's it for this week. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the News Talk app powered by Go Loud. I'm off on Monday, but I'll be back on Tuesday with Pat Kenny. In the meantime, if you have any questions, again, the email techtalk@newstalk.com. John Fardy's up next here on News Talk with Screen Time. I'll chat to you next week.